We're continuing to study in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 8, and we're still in verse 17. And I'm trying to help us to see that there is a distinction between those who feed on the milk of the Word and those who feed on meat. There is a distinction. There is a difference. The milk of the Word is the Scriptures. The meat of the Word is referred to in the Scriptures as the Word of God. And the Word of God is a reference to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And you find that in Luke chapter 8 and verses 10 and 11. I believe that's where it is. But anyway, and babes who feed on milk are hindered in the level of information that they can take in. They're carnal. And a carnal mind is enmity against God. A carnal mind will not obey God. It cannot please God. And so therefore, if we are carnal, or we're living in a state of carnality, we are limited in our walk with the Lord. We're limited in our fellowship. We're limited in our spiritual growth. It's very important for us not to be carnal Christians. We need to be clean. And so, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When we move from being carnal to becoming spiritual, we receive another Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of His Son. And it's by that Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. It's interesting, I ran across this in my study in preparation for today, and we will refer to it in our lesson, is that Paul prayed that the church at Ephesus would receive another Spirit. He doesn't call it another Spirit. But he prayed after he heard of their faithfulness and their ministry to the saints that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the deeper knowledge, in the truth. And so therefore there's another spirit that we need. And that has to do with our growth, spiritual growth. And Paul prayed that the church at Ephesus would receive that spirit. So not every time you see the word Spirit, it is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Though the Holy Spirit, I assure you, is involved because He is our teacher. He is the one who teaches us. And He has a very difficult time doing it too. First of all, if there's nothing up here for Him to draw on, He's got to wait for you to get to it when you're reading the Bible. If He wants to teach you something, He's got to wait till you get there. And of course, He doesn't teach by you just flopping the Bible open and it says, and Judas went and hanged himself, and then you close it again and you flop it open and you read, and go do likewise. Oh, that. Some people just want to open the Bible and read and do what it, you know, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. And so therefore it's very important for all of us to systematically read through the Scriptures. If you want to skip over the genealogies, that's one thing. But let me say this. When you force yourself to read the Scriptures, you're forcing yourself to read things that God wrote that were important to Him and He had them put down. And they're there for a purpose. And that has to do with our well-being and our spiritual growth and understanding of the truth. Which is why the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. Without the Old Testament, we would absolutely be helpless in understanding the New Testament. So, I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, and then reflect upon being joint heirs with Christ and being glorified together. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We are heirs of God if we're in the family. We're joint heirs with Christ if we suffer for him and suffer because of him. Now, there are people that want us to believe that the phrase, if so be that we suffer with him, is what is known as a first-class conditional. That means that every child of God has to suffer. If you're saved, you can't help but suffer. But you and I know that that is not true. And Peter is a prime example of that. Peter denied the Lord how many times? 3 times. Why? So that he could fulfill the Lord's prophecy? No. He denied the Lord 3 times because he was confronted 3 times, and he didn't want to go to the cross and be crucified either. He didn't want to suffer for Christ's sake. That's the reason why he denied him, and that's the reason why we deny him at times. If we want to keep our job, we shut up. If we want to be included, we shut up. And the Lord says, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you where? Before my Father and before the angels. The Lord says that if we're going to rule and reign with him, you can expect suffering. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 3:1 tells us that Paul wrote, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Babes are carnal, and they need milk. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So babes can feed on milk and not on meat. And to try to feed a babe meat is he's just going to spit it out. And that happens a lot. Another thing too, if you're feeding on milk, and that is salvation, 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 if you think that this book is only salvation, then your ears are dull of hearing. You cannot hear very well. That's what it says in Hebrews 10 through 12. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye, dot, 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 I'm skipping over a little portion of that. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Did you know that it would be very difficult for you to explain to a carnal Christian the significance of the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ? They just cannot get it. Why? Because they cannot hear it. Dull of hearing. They can hear the sound, but they can't put anything together. They can't apply Scripture with Scripture. Line upon line. It just doesn't work. That's what happens when you're on the milk of the Word. Now, joint heirs with Christ. To be joint heirs with Christ, you have to eat the same food as Christ. And I tried to apply this so that you can see. If we're going to be joint heirs with Christ, we're going to be sitting at His table. And to sit at the king's table means that you eat the king's meat. Well, we need to learn to eat his meat today before we get to the kingdom table. I don't even know what he's going to put on the table up there, but I know what kind of food he fed on here. Jesus told his disciples in John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish. You know what? That is a 7-course meal. The doing the will of the Father means you got to see what's on the table. What is the will of the Father? And you say, I believe I'll have that and that. You know what I'm saying? And then finish. You don't get up and leave the table. You continue until the meal is complete. And that's when the Lord takes us home to be with Him. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The meat, that or the food that the Lord Jesus Christ ate, was butter and honey. We need to eat butter and honey. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat, solid food, that's butter. And you need some honey to go with it. It's just not strictly butter. There's plenty of butter being churned today. But people that have the butter don't have the honey to go with it, and they don't know what to do with it, unfortunately. Let's continue. Proverbs 30, verse 33 tells us, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. See, there's scripture to tell you that you need to churn milk and it'll bring forth butter. And the scriptures is milk. And you've got to churn the milk to get the butter so that you are able to discern between good and evil. And there's more to it than just discerning it. You've got to see the value of choosing the good and refusing the evil. It's not just simply good enough to know the difference between good and evil. You've got to know that there's a significant benefit of choosing the good and all that goes with it. Because there is plenty that is not much fun now. But oh, when we get on that side, it will be fun. It'll be worth it. Now, in 1 Samuel 14:29, Jonathan had been in war, in a battle, and he killed a bunch of Philistines, he and his armor bearer. They were on their way back to Saul and to the army. And Jonathan said, see, I pray you, how my eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. It takes God enlightening the eyes to be able to see how to use the butter. You got to have light. And here it is in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Behold, after I heard of your faith, or faithfulness, or fidelity in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, verse 15, verse 17, that the God of our, in other words, Paul says, I prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge, or in the knowledge. And that knowledge is epinosis. That's knowledge upon knowledge. That's line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, the Father's got to give you that Spirit. It's not automatic. If it was automatic, then Paul wouldn't have had to pray for him to get it. So, what was that wisdom? What is that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him? The eyes of your understanding, what? Being enlightened. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation that helps us to understand how to use the butter, and not our skill. It's not the wise and the prudent that get it. It's the insignificant that get it. Okay, well, that's another lesson in itself. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. Did you know that the hope of His calling and the inheritance in the saints is butter? That's the meat of the Word. That's what the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. He is our high priest concerning good things that are coming. Now, Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity. Let's leave the milk. Hebrews 6:3, and this we will do if God permit. That's the barrier. God does not permit all of His kids to go on to maturity or spiritual growth. And the reason, and I didn't put it in the notes, it's just not enough room to put it on four little old pieces of paper or pages. Did you know that to whom much is given, much will be required? If God gave you a lot of information, He would be forced to beat you with many stripes if you didn't do anything with it but ignore it. If you know the will of God and you don't do anything about it, you will suffer because of it. But if you didn't know, you will not suffer as much. You'll be beaten with few stripes. So God knows our limitations and what our capacity is, and in His mercy He doesn't share everything. That's what I believe. Now let's continue. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11, it says, He gives some to some and not to others. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is meat. That is open to some and it is closed to some. That's the reason why the Lord taught in parables, so that only those that had ears to hear and eyes to see would be encouraged to ask some questions. Lord, what did you mean by that? And those that didn't have a clue what they were saying, they just went home. Kind of reminded me, you know, I've shared this before, but it's really apropos. When I was in Florence, Italy, I took a tour, CIT tour. I wanted to see, you know, all the statues and the paintings and the cathedrals and all that stuff. And there was a lady on the bus with us. And so I was standing in the baptistry of the cathedral, and she was explaining to me all the intricacies of the baptistry, how that they used to baptize it by immersion, and too many babies were drowning, so they filled in the floor of the baptistry and they put a little bucket on the side of the wall, and that's what they use today. And then the next thing you know, I didn't have a clue what she was saying. She was a linguist, so she switched from English to German or French or whatever it was. You know what I did? I just turned around and walked away. Wasn't anything in that for me. And you know what? That's what happened in the Lord's ministry. He was teaching certain ones precious truths, and there were others that couldn't get it. So, the Lord ministered meat to some, and he not to others. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, and He did this according to His own pleasure. In other words, I don't know why He did this. I don't have a clue why He has allowed us to hear certain things and to grow and others not. I don't have an answer to that. That's just not. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. He's got a plan. And you know what? We're bought with a price. We are bought with a price. Do you own you? No. If you're a child of God, God owns you, and He can do with you what He wants. I was just trying to think about how this could work. I was just thinking about the fact, you know, if you had several cars and you're parking in your garage, you have a 5-car garage, you know, you got several cars in there. He says, why did you choose the blue one to drive to church this morning instead of the red one? Well, they all get you here. Just that, you know, I just think I like this one better, and it suits my purpose to drive the blue one instead of the red one. And you don't have a reason particularly why you did that. Particularly if they're all the same brand and the same year. You know, you got to set up the scenario just right so that it all works out right. I don't know why the Lord has chosen some and not others. We're not our own, and He can do with His own as He wills. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 gives us a little insight into what the butter is. The butter for His own. Those who were once enlightened, they were given eyes to see and have tasted the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift is not the plan of salvation. The heavenly gift is the message of age-lasting life. Remember this. This is what God permits some of His kids to get, and He doesn't permit others. So he's not talking about the common salvation. He's talking about the so great salvation in that particular part. And made partakers of the Holy Ghost. He is a teacher. Being made partakers of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean indwelling. It means ministry of the Holy Spirit. And have tasted the good word of God. You know what the good word of God is? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's the butter. And you've tasted that. And the powers, and this is also translated, meaning of the age to come. This also translated miracles. Miracles doesn't apply to me. I haven't done any miracles. I've had a few miracles, I'm sure, happen to me, though I can't testify of a big miracle that's happened to me, if you understand what I'm saying. But when I translate this, the meaning of the age to come, I can apply that. I can understand that. If I've tasted that, if I've experienced that, then I have been in the butter. Okay? Now, it is hard for babes to be taught the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the purpose of the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews 9:11, it says, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. And what He is doing, He is sharing, He is preparing us to share in His inheritance. That's what He's doing. He is a high priest ministering to us His inheritance. Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He hath made the worlds. In other words, He is appointed heir of all things, and He is a high priest of good things to come. And so in Hebrews 9:15, we see Him doing this. In Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, He, that is Christ, is the mediator of His estate. That's what Hebrews 15 is dealing with. His estate has to do with the fact that He is the heir of all things, and He made the world. And because He made the world, He can give any part of the world to any of His children. Let's go on. He is the mediator of His estate. The new will and testament. That's what the New Testament is all about. It has to do with a testator's will. And that has to do with people who write wills. I know that Brother Bruce here is struggling over working out all the intricacies of his father's will. It's not easy to do. Did you know? If Bruce's dad was alive today, he'd know exactly what he meant when he wrote it. Did you know that? Did you know? The Lord Jesus Christ, who wrote His own will, knows exactly how to distribute it because He is alive today in the heavens. And there isn't going to be any mix-up, and there's not going to be any suits to get anybody to turn that around. And I'll show you that in just a moment. It says that by means of death, that is of the testator, for the redemption of the transgressors, not the transgressions. Transgressions don't need to be redeemed. Transgressors need to be redeemed. That were under the first testament, that is the Old Testament. They which are called, that is, the heavenly calling, might receive the promise of age-lasting life. He is the one who wrote His will, and He is the one who is mediating that will. And He's going to do it the right way. And you know what? Just like in any family, any child can be disinherited. Did you know that? You can write your children out of your will. Now, you can't write an adopted child out of your will. Did you know that? You cannot write an adopted child out of your will. You have to give them at least a dollar. But any natural child, and that's what we all are, if you've been born from above, you know you're a natural child of God. There's been no adoptions in the family of God. Everyone has been born into the family. And you can be disinherited if you do not please Him. That's the way it is in the earthly family, isn't it? You cross mom and dad, they scratch you right out of the will. Tough. Anyway. Now, He is the mediator of that will. And that's the good things that are coming. In Revelation 21:7, it says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things. You know, if I'm an overcomer, I'm pleasing my Father. I'm doing His will. And I'm going to inherit all the things that He has prepared for me. I'm not going to take over the Lord's inheritance. Don't, you know, that's not what this is telling me. But this is telling me that I'm going to get what God has prepared for me. And He is my God, and I will one day be His son. Now, if we do that, in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, the word suffer there, it's not a good translation, it's endure, we shall reign with Him, and if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Did you know that enduring to the end means that we're going to reign with Him in His coming kingdom and glory? If we deny Him, He's going to say, who are you? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. That's what denying means. Revelation 3:21. If I endure, I'm going to sit with Him in His throne. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat down with my Father in His throne. Jesus was an overcomer. You know what? If I'm going to be in fellowship with Him, I better be an overcomer myself. See that? You've got to do that. You've got to be faithful. Jesus sat down. The Father says, you were an overcomer. Sit right here on my right hand. And if I'm an overcomer, I'm probably not going to be anywhere near the right or left hand, but I'm not going to be very far away, hopefully, as a king or a lord. But anyway, let's go on. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the best resurrection. The word first, I believe, and it can be translated, best or chief resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. I want to have part in the best resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, again, I remind us, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. To be glorified together is to rule and reign with Him in honor and glory in His coming kingdom. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, we see that Peter denied the Lord and he escaped suffering. But you know what the Lord says, or what Paul tells us in Philippians 1:29? For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Did you know that that was in God's design for you to suffer? But you know who He's talking to here? He's not talking to just babes. He's not talking to one who believes in the aorist tense. This word believe is in the present tense. He's talking to those that are faithful. If you're faithful, you know what you get to do? You get to suffer. If you're like Job, on the honor roll, everybody in heaven knew who Job was. Skewed evil, special guy. Satan wanted him. And the Lord allowed him to have him. And you know what? We can suffer too. And we will suffer if we expect to rule and reign with Him. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets which were before you. You expect to rule and reign in His coming kingdom? You need to expect to suffer. And you know what the sad thing about it is this? It's not the derelict on the street corner down here that's going to persecute you. It's those in the family. Did you know that Jesus Christ defined our foes? He says your foes are going to be those of the family. That's who your foes are. That's who your enemies are. Those in the family. I'm not talking about the principalities and powers in heavenly places. They're not in the family. But the ones that hurt the most are those who are saved and are opposing you because you have a hope of glory. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. We're all wigglers. We want to wiggle out of it. We just need to endure and wait for the Lord to deliver us. And so therefore it takes endurance, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Did you know that our suffering is a manifest token that God is working on your behalf? For what purpose? That ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. What God is doing is preparing us to rule and reign with Christ by allowing us to suffer today. You know what? We're not above our Master. Did Jesus Christ suffer while He was here on the earth? He sure did. And we're not above Him. We're going to be opposed just like He was opposed by the spiritual leaders of His day. Now, I'll close with this. 2 Timothy 3, verses 11 and 12. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Isn't that neat? The Lord will deliver us out of the persecution, or He'll give us grace to endure it. He will give us the grace to endure it. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. May God help us to accept the trials and testings that come our way, for truly the Lord is preparing us to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. May we be encouraged as we struggle from time to time with difficulties, opposition, people trying to offend us. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us not to be offended and not to fall away. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.